If a Christian doesn't pray about heaven, that's a remarkable lack. Who ever heard of exiles not thinking about home?
Now, I said, that's exactly what the rosary is. We are in a new moment of time and a new moment of space. So we keep saying to our Lord and to the Blessed Mother, I love you, I love you.
That's the Holy Rosary. That's the Catholic faith. The whole Catholic faith is in it.
Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your Rosary on the Road. We're wrapping up another week here, coming into the second sorrowful mystery, and moving our way through the month of July. So far, despite everything, on track. Today we're going to pray. It's going to be our second Requiem for the year. Second Requiem for the It's our first Requiem because last week we didn't do a Requiem. We prayed for the sick, but this was supposed to be the Requiem we were going to do last week. And this is for Willie Sullivan, who I have to say there's a I feel a tinge of regret here because this prayer request was originally sent last year as I was wrapping up the last series, and I just didn't have time to get to him on the schedule. And it was unclear to me when the prayer was originally submitted whether it was a requiem or whether it was a prayer for the sick. Now it is definitively a requiem, and I'm regretting that I didn't pray it earlier because I'm very much hoping that it's not a requiem prayer now. Excuse me. I'm very much hoping that it is not a requiem prayer now because it was a prayer for the sick back in November when it was originally submitted. I try my very best to make sure that I get to everybody's prayers. I'll always make sure that I don't miss anyone. I've gone back over. I think I've gotten everyone. If I have not, if there's someone that, if you were expecting a prayer, and I did publish on the channel, on the Telegram channel, and I published it on Post and on Gab as well. I've tried to put it out there everywhere that I can. I have the list of all the prayers that I'm supposed to say. My entire schedule is up there for anyone to take a look at. If you have submitted a prayer request and you don't see it listed there, or and I have not already prayed for you, please get in touch with me. Please let me know. It is incredibly important to me that I pray for every prayer request that comes through, because not only because it's the decent thing to do, it's just a decent sort of it's the good Christian thing to do. But in addition to that, I have a selfish purpose for doing this. Part of praying for all of you, strangers that I do not know, is an act of penance. It offers me an opportunity to do something. To pray for the living and the dead is a spiritual work of mercy that I am doing for my own spiritual good. So if I miss somebody, then I have failed to do this thing that I promised God that I would do. So you are helping me fulfill a promise that I have made by making sure that I don't miss anybody, and that my human frailty, which is quite profound, does not affect your ability to have my audience here pray for you or for your intention. So please do correct that. And you can correct it in the same place that you would write an intention to me, which is the email address, praytherosaryeveryday.wordpress.com. Or the email address, that's the website. You can do the comment there too. The email address is dailydecadrequests@proton.me. That's Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural at proton.m for Michael, E for Elizabeth, proton.me. You can also drop a line on Telegram, Gab, or if you're on the Fediverse, I am on Post, that's POA.ST, and it is at the Daily Decad on all three of those platforms. Anywhere that you find me, I will be at the Daily Decad. You'll see me published under the name Mario Garetti. I am not on any social media under the name Mario Garetti. If you run into somebody of that name, it is not me. I am always at the Daily Decad. No underscores, dashes, dots, or anything else. Just at the Daily Decad, all one word. So if I have missed anybody, or if you have a prayer request to send in, please do contact me via those avenues. Now, our prayer today is for the repose of the soul of Willie Sullivan and for the well-being of his family. As usual, it is a Friday, so we're going to go ahead and pray in Latin. So I encourage you to get all of your rosaries out. If you don't have a rosary, I encourage you to procure one. They're not difficult to come by. You could benefit tremendously from having one for reasons that I've already articulated, I think, in the past. But all the same, it's a good thing to have, good habit to get into. Obviously, I want, just like the website says, I want you to pray the rosary every day. But in addition to that, it would be good to pray in the manner that one typically or ought to pray the rosary. And that means praying with the sacramental, that of the rosary itself. It's also helpful, you know, it's something that's good to have. Now, if you're having trouble praying in Latin, or if you want to learn how to pray in Latin, it is an ancient language of our people, and almost all of our ancestors at one point or another said a prayer in Latin, then there's a couple of different resources to go to. The one I recommend is this book, Christian Warfare, which is a pretty good and exhaustive text with all sorts of Latin prayers in it. It's a really good, if you're a Catholic, it's a fantastic Catholic text. It's published by the Society of St. Pius X out of, I want to say Manitoba, Canada. I might be wrong about that, though. It's definitely out of Canada, but I can't recall exactly where in Canada that they're based from. But it's published out of their publishing house. It's an excellent little book, and if you're not Catholic, then let's hope that the end of that statement is if is yet. We put the yet on that. If you're not Catholic yet, there's another book, an excellent book, just to learn how to pray the Rosary, and that's Rosary Warfare, also put out by the same publisher. There are some things in there that I'm not 100% on. They have a Dewey Rheims and a Latin Vulgate scriptural rosary method to pray the rosary in there. And I've noticed discrepancies and additions between the two. So you'll have the Latin scriptural rosary, and that'll be fine. You can double-check that right against the Vulgate, and they do use some other sources in there. The exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola are used for certain reflections. As you're going through the Decad, there's 10 options each, or 10 instances to pray about, 10 things to reflect on, 10 statements. And I've noticed that what they do in the English is they've added certain things to the Latin translations. You know, the translation of the Latin, and then you'll have some other additional thing. And I am not 100% sure I like that. That bothers me. It seems sneaky to me. It's dishonest. If you want to do a scriptural rosary, you do a scriptural rosary. You do it from the scripture, or if you want to use Catholic, doctors of the church, that's legitimate. We're Catholics. We're not completely beholden solely to scripture. After all, the church wrote scripture. But don't sneak things in that don't belong there. So I give a conditional recommendation on that text. And the other one is the Rosary Album. And I've forgotten the author of that, but that is excellent. That's just stupendous and very much worth getting your hands on if you haven't. Now then, having done all of the housekeeping, having said all of that, having wasted, I'm sure, I can't see, I'm not looking at my phone right now, but having wasted certainly many minutes of your time, let's go ahead and pray the rosary. In nomine Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Credo in Deum, Patrem omnipotentem, Creator Caeli et Terrae, et in Iesum Christum, Domino Nostrum, Eius, Filius Eius Unicum, qui conceptus est Spiritus Sancto, natus ex Maria Virgine, passus sub Pontio Pilato, crucifixus, mortus et sepultus, descendit ad inferos. Tertia die resurrexit a mortuis, ascendit ad caelum, sedet ad dexterum Dei Patris Omnipotentis, inde venturi est judicari vivos et mortuos. Credo in Spiritum Sanctum, Sanctum Ecclesiam Catholicum, Sanctorum Communionum, Remissionem Peccatorum, Carnis Resurrectionem, et Vitam Aeternam. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in Caelis, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, adveniat regnum Tuum, fiat voluntas Tua, sicut in Caelo et in Terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitti nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri, et Filio, et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Secundum Mysterium Dolorosum, Flagellatio Domini Nostri Iesu Christi. Pater Noster, qui es in Caelis, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, adveniat regnum Tuum, fiat voluntas Tua, sicut in Caelo et in Terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitti nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, Filio, et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat principio, et nunc, et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Salve Regina, Mater Misericordia, vita dulcedo et spes nostre, salve. A te clamamus, exsudis filia Evi, a te suspiramus, gementes afflentes, in hac lacrimarum vale. Ea ergo, advocata nostra, illos tuos misericordes oculos ad nos converte, et Iesum benedictum fructum ventris tui, nobis post hoc exilium ostende. O clemens, o pia, o dulce Virgo Maria. Ora pro nobis, Sancta Dei Genetrix, ut digni officiamur promissionibus Christi. Oremus. Deus, cuius in genitus per vitam, mortem et resurrectionem suam nobis salutis eterni premium comparavit, concede quaesimus. Ut haec mysteria sacratissimo, beate Mariae Virginis Rosario Recolentes, et imitemur quod continent, et quod promitunt, essequamur. Periundum Christum Dominum nostrum. Amen. Requiem aeternam dona eam Domine, et lux perpetua eum lucet, et requiescat in pace. Sancte Michael Arcangele, defende nos in praelio, contra iniquitiam et insidias diaboli esto presidium, impera illi Deus, supplices deprecamur. Tuque princeps militae celestis, satanam aliosque spiritus malignos, qui ad perditionem animarum pervagantur in mundo, divina virtute in infernum detrude. Amen. Sacratissimum cor Iesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimum cor Iesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimum cor Iesu, advenir regnum tuum. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Goodness gracious, I stumbled a lot today. I guess it's appropriate considering what we're going to be talking about, which is the second sorrowful mystery, the scourging of the pillar. Our Lady of Fatima, or I should say, because there is some confusion here, and to a degree I'm not sure that I like the way that we talk about the apparitions of the Blessed Mother. Because oftentimes people seem to think and talk as though Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Lourdes are all different beings, and they're not. The apparition is Our Lady of so-and-so, sort of like Notre Dame de Paris. Our Lady of Paris is the name of the church that everyone is so fond of. It's the place itself, you know, that's called Our Lady of. It is the church of Our Lady, and it is the church of Our Lady in this place. Same thing as the apparition of Our Lady at Fatima, Lourdes, what have you. The Blessed Mother is the same in all these places, because she's in eternity now with her son as a reward for the good service and faithful service that she rendered on earth, same as all the saints. Our Lady, when she appeared at Fatima, a better way to phrase it, said that more souls are damned for sins of the flesh than for any other cause or purpose or offense. And it is sins of the flesh that are reflected in the second sorrowful mystery. Now, we say sins of the flesh so often, especially in our day and age. It's been used as a euphemism so long for sins against the sixth commandment that's what people think of when they think sins of the flesh. But the reality is that sins of the flesh are sins of the body, of carnality. And that means sins like gluttony, sins like the specific neglect of the body in sloth. Sloth itself is not necessarily a carnal sin, but it can be if it is a neglect of the body and bodily health. There's violence done to the body, to our physical being, and there is violence that's done to the physical being through things that we think of as typically sins of the flesh, these sort of perversities that reign in our society today. But those sins are not the only ones that cause Christ to suffer, and they're not the only ones that send people to hell. Now, it's very interesting that the Blessed Mother, when she appears at the beginning of the 20th century, should emphasize this. I think a lot of people have walked away with the wrong idea. Because she talks about modesty as well, people automatically think that all of it is going to be of a carnal merit, of an intimate nature. There we are. We'll use that euphemism. And it's not of a venereal nature. There we are. Sins of a venereal type. And it's not. It's because she is, at the beginning of the 20th century, appearing in Portugal to these poor peasants. It would seem odd that she would talk about sins, which, let's be honest, are the sins of the wealthy and the prosperous world. The widespread celebration, recognition, and endorsement of sodomy does not happen when people live natural lives, and natural lives are not prosperous lives. They are prosperous in a way, but not in the material prosperity that we experience. We experience an outsized material prosperity to the extent where we don't even know what to do if we don't have it. The idea of surviving, which is something that humanity has done since God put us on the earth, and since our first fathers at this point stepped off the ark, we have survived, and we've striven for survival. In today's day and age, and particularly in the white world, we have had both the blessing and the curse of such tremendous material prosperity that we don't know how to survive anymore. And it's really damaged us, I think, as a civilization, as a race. And it damages all races that come into this. The Chinese are actually struggling with the same thing right now. They've had too much prosperity. This is why, and Christ warns us against this when he says that hardly a rich man shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, why? Well, it's not because being wealthy makes you an evil person, but it's because the occasion for temptation and weakness is so great. We dull our senses and seek new things to indulge in. And quite frankly, I think that's why we have such strange perversities running about, because these people are so numb that they look for something that gives them some sense of material happiness, because they don't know how to seek spiritual happiness. And so we all fall into sin. We live in an age of sin. And we live particularly in an age of sins of the flesh, which is what we reflect on when we reflect on the scourging. Now, there's something about the scourging. It is gratuitous. We know that. It becomes that way because of Pilate's weakness. He doesn't want to stand up to the crowd. He doesn't want to stand up to the Jews. And as a result, he says, well, maybe I can evoke some kind of pity from these people. And so he sends Christ to be scourged, and the idea that he'll bring him out and say, they'll all look at him and say, oh, well, I guess we've gotten what we're looking for. And they don't. But that's what his thought process is. So his weakness is the reason why it happens. But it, as a gratuitous thing, it represents its own unique, it occupies kind of its own unique space in the Passion. Christ is completely there in the scourging. When we think about Christ giving himself for us, he gives himself completely. Because if he did not give himself completely, the sacrifice would be incomplete. The sacrifice would be insufficient. And the whole idea is that he came down to earth, became flesh, so that he could give himself completely. Because if we tried to give ourselves completely, it wouldn't be enough. Only God giving himself completely can atone for being infinite. He can atone for the infinite offense that is sin. So he comes down to earth and he gives himself to it completely. He gives himself to the scourging completely. When Christ is in the scourging, that's it. He's there in the scourging. He's not on the cross. He's not being mocked yet. He's right there in the fullness of it. And that's what happens to us as well when we sin. In that moment, we are in the fullness of our degradation. In the same way that in any moment of virtue, we are in that moment in sort of the fullness of our virtue. And only for that moment. Christ tells us not to take provision for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Don't worry about it. And what he means is that as Christians, we are called to give ourselves entirely to each moment that we live. Now, this is different than living in the moment in the contemporary and secular sense. The idea that you shouldn't worry so much, you should just be happy, count your blessings, live in the moment, soak everything in. Because when you're living in the moment of the secular sense, you're a sponge. You're absorbing everything around you. When you live in the moment in a Christian sense, you are a light, a beacon of light, or you're like a patch of black mold. Mold doesn't absorb from what's around it. It sends out these spores that make people sick. Light illuminates. Light drives away sickness. Sunlight, in particular. So you can be in the moment, either that beacon of virtue, the ray of sunlight, so to speak, or you can be that patch of black mold infecting the air around you. Because when we sin, we open ourselves up to the nothingness of evil. And we drive God out of our hearts. When we sin, we cannot reflect on the mercy of God. Because in that moment, we've rejected it, just as we've rejected the judgment. But because we sin in the moment, we also resist in the moment. And moment to moment, hour to hour, day to day, we set ourselves up in resistance. See, that's the thing. There's always hope. There's always this reassurance behind everything, thanks to Christ. Because just as we are in the moment evil, or in the moment not virtuous, In the next moment, it's our job to strive to maintain virtue or to climb out of evil. If you've fallen into sin, in the moment, you are sinful. In the following moment, you don't need to be. In any moment that you sin, you can stop sinning. And having stopped, you can repent and change yourself. That's what repentance is. You know, this is one of the things that the Protestants sort of get right with their altar calls. The problem is they have this one, once you've been saved, that's it. They don't have a moment-to-moment understanding of things. Now, I say Protestants. There's a specific set of Protestants that I'm thinking of. But we have a moment in which we can change, we can convert, we can accept Christ and get away from what we were just doing. Before you sin, you should think only of God's judgment. After you sin, think only of His mercy. Saint Isaac of Syria, I think it's actually, it might be St. Isaac of Nineveh. There's two St. Isaacs running about over there at about the same time. And one of them wrote in a letter of admonishment, he said, "Do not reflect on God's judgment. God's judgment is too far beyond our human understanding. Think only instead of His mercy." Now, we have to understand that this is not in modern Christianity where, you know, everyone's always thinking only of mercy and no one's ever thinking of judgment. Rather, this is a situation in which he is surrounded by incredible asceticism, incredible dedication to fasting and asceticism and self-deprivation and discipline. And so he's injecting this notion, think of God's mercy, into that situation where everyone already is thinking of God's judgment. They're all very, very good at that. You have the Desert Fathers and all of that. Turn yourself towards His mercy so that you have hope. You don't get dragged down into despair. Now, if you all you think about is His mercy, then you're being presumptuous. You want to, before you sin, keep before you the judgment of God. Satan flips this, by the way. He has you think of God's mercy before you sin, and then of God's judgment afterwards. That's his trick. You'll never climb out of this hole. You'll never be good. You've never been worth anything. Look at you, slime, crawling around in the muck that you are. That's the devil after you've sinned. And beforehand, it's always, well, what's a taste? After all, it's here. And so he flips it. We as Christians have to focus the other way. We have to live moment to moment thinking of God's judgment on our vices and understanding if in the moment we fall, in the following moment remembering God's mercy. And to keep that before us as we think of the scourging. Because the scourging is an act of God's mercy for the judgment we deserve. And so may we live every moment, moment to moment, in virtue, in always standing up straight again, even when we've fallen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
The moon is the symbol of Our Lady. The moon is for those in darkness. And I think in a special way for sinners. So that if we but look to her who is the moon and derives all light from the sun, they would never fall into an abyss. Now this is the Rosary.